What's up, mommies and poppies? It is Lala Kent.
With Randall, we are back for another exciting episode!
Oh, gross. What is that?
I was just making sound effects because we don't have a budget yet for sound effects. But I'm telling you, and Tim, producer Tim is sitting here. I am telling you, Tim, I need one of those boxes. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's sick. Let's
Switch
get one
right
of those.
It just hit. Okay, we're going to get that. I need that in the next episode because I want to fuck it. I'm going to go off with those visual effects. But anyway, back to business.
So we have Kate Bosworth and Michael Polish. Today,
Kate Bosworth, obviously one of the greatest American actresses, and her husband Michael Polish, who is an incredibly talented director. We have done three or four movies together as Michael and I, and Kate as well. And they have a new movie that I produced that Kate's starring in with Emile Hirsch and Mel Gibson to be released June 30th, called Force of Nature. And we're excited. I didn't even know the name of my own fucking movie.
Wow, that means
quarantine screwed me up a lot. I mean, I'm not as quick as I normally am.
I totally get it, Rand, because I'm in a full fog. I really am.
Like between the pickleball and just waking up every day, it's like it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is
full day. Full day.
Between the pickleball and just waking up,
full day.
It is a lot. And I went into a K-hole on our podcast reviews. And I saw one, and I feel like this is perfect to explain real quick, since we have a couple on the podcast today, one who's an actress, one who's a director. And one of the comments was, by the way, people show a lot of love to this podcast, so let's give a shout out to everyone who's sharing beautiful, amazing, kind messages. This one message was not about, it was not hateful in any way. It just said, I feel like Randall shows Lala so much love on the podcast, but it is not reciprocated on Lala's end. So let me take a moment.
I want to say something too. I'm going to let you take a moment. You know what? Take your moment, then I'm going to say something.
Thank you, babe.
Go ahead.
Randall, you are my like best friend, and I love that we can like bust balls together. But let me say this. You, my love, are like my ride or die. I'm going to reciprocate the love more so that the listeners know what... Because when I'm with you doing this... It's like the banter. It's like fun. Like no one wants to sit here and listen to me be like, I'm so madly in love with Randall.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know they made those comments. I saw one like
one
back
comment.
In the day.
It was one.
Okay. The bottom line is what your fans are trying to tell you is kiss my ass. That's what you're supposed to do. Kiss and worship my ass. So going forward, I would like you to come in, give me a back massage. Following the back massage, give me lots of kisses.
Okay.
And then we will start our podcast. Could you? Now, I know I'm dreaming right now, but I just.
Yeah, I wanted to say you got the wrong bit.
But no. Okay.
But I'm just going to smile and nod and say, okay,
no,
baby.
No, but baby, let me say something. First of all, I think that the podcast, first of all, for somebody to judge our relationship, meaning solely through a podcast, they're not going to see our personal moments because that's when we're at home, when we're together, when we're driving here, when we're, you know, doing what we do. I think the podcast, we're trying to really entertain people and give them a slice of who we are.
However, I also, when Randall
but
shows...
But I don't mind you kissing my ass.
I'll kiss your ass. When Randall shows me love, it does not come off as corny or cheesy. Like, you're really good at... Wait, Tim. Producer Tim is over there going, oh,
Tim,
I don't know about that.
Tim, you're going to question my... By,
I'm saying it's not legitimate. It's just sometimes.
Oh, Tim says it's not legitimate. No. He says it's not. He says it's not that it's not legitimate. He says it might be borderline corny, is what he's trying to say.
No, that's what I said. I said you have a way of making your love shown for me not cheesy
right,
on the
Tim's
podcast.
Questioning that shit.
Tim's
now.
Face was like, well, I don't know about that.
Tim, let me tell you something. I am more romantic than you will ever fucking be.
Hey, this is not, we're not like shooting fucking flaming arrows at people.
It's not
right
flaming.
Now.
He's been my guy for 10 years, my producer. Tim, true story. And next week we'll have the mic working so you can rebuttal, but I'm glad you can't right now. In the 10 years I've known you, true story, I have been very instrumental and helpful in coming up with ideas for gifts, for vacations, et cetera, for your wife, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
That's
a fact. I have sat with Tim and said, you should go to this hotel or your wife will really like this or this is a nice gift, or he'll throw ideas. I am very, very, very supportive.
It's not my strong suit at all.
His strong suit. You don't even have a suit when it comes to giving gifts.
Well, Tim, I'm shitty at it too. Don't worry.
Oh, Lala. Okay. We're going to go down this road. Lala, you're not shitty at it. You suck.
Yeah. I'm really bad. But, I'm really bad at showering people with gifts.
But I will tell you what, but you are a lover. And for me, showering me with the affection and love and the cuddling and all that stuff,
right,
that's the most important thing. Okay. And if you have that from your partner, everything else secondary. Like, there's not a lot of things you can go buy me that are going to change my life in any way.
I bought you things, and I still hold on to the fact that I bought you things, and I hold on to the fact that I bought you things because they either go missing because he just never opens it.
Here we go.
Or he's this is a bad topic. I look at it and I'm like, this is still in the box with the price tag. So, like,
okay, well, I want to tell you something you bought me that I'm going to defend why it doesn't come out of the box. You bought me a pair of Gucci, not slides, Gucci shoes,
right,
that have like flowers on them.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. That ones that are painted had some friggin' fufu.
Oh, I gave those to my brother.
I didn't tell you you could do that.
I did. You told me I could. I know the exact ones you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% positive. Because
you steal shit from my closet. I'm putting a camera in the closet. I'm
like, go for it. I would love that.
Okay, I want to just
I did ask you. They were green and had floral prints.
You're giving me that look right now, that darting look.
Okay. I'm going to murk you if you...
Yeah, but I want to tell you something.
I will murk you.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to post on my gram. I'm going to have your brother send me a screenshot of those shoes. They were just...
They were girly. You told me that the second that I got them for you.
Okay, so you
loved them.
Okay, you would love them, but you can't hold on to shoes that you could wear that I didn't want to wear. They're not my... I wear Adidas.
You wanted to lose weight, so I bought you a Fitbit. I bought you a Peloton.
Are you keeping inventory? Because that's what it fucking 100%. Feels like.
100%. I am a stingy motherfucker, and if I'm spending money, I would rather you just not make me give you anything.
You're cheap as fuck.
So cheap. The cheapest of the cheap.
But I love you regardless. But I want to tell you something. The shoes, I'm being serious. The shoes, most people would not wear those shoes.
But I have bought you shoes that you do love. Anyway.
You bought me dope sneakers. I love sneakers. You know that.
Yes.
And by the way, you did give me a phenomenal gift once, which I was shocked and moved. Because you spent a lot of money, more money than you should have spent. And you had bought me a piece of luggage that was super fancy. And I use it to this day. The only thing that sucked about this piece of luggage, you know, when you get one of these pieces of fancy luggage, which I've never had, I roll around literally with a backpack, you know, Tim, yeah. A backpack and like some duffel from, you know, Target. So I don't really care what my luggage looks like. But anyway, you bought me a really fancy piece of luggage. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was going to the airport one day. This is a true story, Tim. I was going to the airport and I didn't close the back of the SUV.
Yeah.
And it was there. And I drove out of the driveway at 50 miles an hour. And the thing went flying out of the back of the SUV. Did I tell you this? I probably didn't tell you this.
No, you didn't. Yeah,
you're giving me that look again. Lala's pissed. So it flew out of the back. This is like the first week. It flew out of the back. I heard it. I go, oh my God, my luggage is down Mulholland Drive. I have to UE back. I grab it and it's like shredded. Yeah, but I still use it every day. I tried to buff it out so you'd never see it. Okay, Lala's got her mouth. Your jaw has just dropped. She has not moved out of this position.
Can I tell you something about me? I keep my things in impeccable condition.
You do.
I had these Forever 21 heels that literally my mom took a picture of. They're still in my closet from when I was in high school back home in Utah. They were like in mint condition and I would wear them all the time because like I'm a bitch in Utah. I had like $2,000 in my bank account one time in Utah and I was like, I'm fucking so rich. I'm going to Nordstrom and buying Steve Madden's. That was like my splurge. But I'm just really great at keeping things nice. So when you ask to use my Gucci duffel bag and I say, fuck no, and you get upset, I'm going to remind you of the time you went 50 miles an hour down Mulholland and had luggage fly out of the back of the car.
That comment on our podcast, is this you showing more affection in our podcast? I'm just curious. No, I mean, it's funny, but I'm just asking.
I love you, Randall. You're everything I've ever wanted. Is that better?
That was so bad and fake.
I thought it sounded kind of hot.
Yeah, if you weren't sitting in front of me faking it.
I can't wait to bump peepees with you later.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the shit. I mean, what the fuck is this? Babe, stop.
Oh my God.
I love you.
I love you too. Let's switch gears.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we have the beautiful Kate Bosworth and her talented hubby, Michael Polish.
We'll be back in a minute.
I love you. I'm sorry. We are back and we have two of my most favorite people in the world. We have Kate Bosworth and her amazing hubby, Michael Polish. What's up, my loves?
Hi, guys.
Hey. How's it going? Everything's good. I'm so excited to have you guys. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God, we're so psyched. You know, anytime to spend time with you guys.
We should just be recording every time we hang out together, and then we can just slice it together.
By the way,
that's actually a really great idea. People would die.
The conversations that we've had as a group have just been fucking epic. So
yeah,
the fact that we could bring it live here, it makes it even more fun.
That's the best.
All right, so let me just give a briefing. First of all, Kate and I have known each other. I can't. Kate, when was Wonderland the first movie that we did together?
No, I don't know.
15 years ago, 10 years ago.
No longer. It was like 2002 or 2003.
Oh, wow. My god, dude, that's amazing. So we've known each other 17 years.
That's what we call a throwback friendship.
So we've known each other 17 years. Kate was the star of a movie that I was fortunate enough to produce with Val Kilmer called Wonderland, based on the murders of Wonderland. We shot in, Kate, do you remember this? New Mexico, right? Was it New Mexico? No, L.A.
No,
I'm thinking of something else. Mind fuck.
We shot in L.A., but you're thinking of the other one that you did with Val.
Correct. That's because I'm old, Kate. I'm old. I'm 49. Well,
I know. I am too. I was like trying to count the years back and I couldn't.
So we did this movie in L.A. It was really fucking cool. It was indie. It was just badass. And obviously you're amazing. We sparked our friendship. We've been friends for that long, 17 years. Then I meet Michael, who is just the greatest director. Michael, and how many movies? Yeah. Take us through, you guys, the films that we've done together as a family, and then we'll get into everything else.
The movies that are in the bedroom movies? Or like,
are we talking about pornos?
Michael and I have had some really deep, deep moments.
Yeah. Oh,
I
can't
get into that. Well, you know, we're not going to, you know, if there's a section for Johnny Walker Blue, we'll table that.
By the way, Johnny Walker Blue, you've heard it from now Kate Bosworth, Michael Polish, and myself. Lala doesn't drink. Send the bottles. We like the custom Johnny Blue bottles. Send them.
Yeah. You guys are bougie.
Yes.
We need the Johnny Walker Blue bottles.
Oh, the fact, Kate, you just put that out there, they are definitely sending us shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have all my digits crossed.
Exactly.
You know, let's say the first movie, there's a few movies that we were always entertained together. And then there was just, you know, yeah. And then the first movie that was probably both out of our wheelhouse was 90 Minutes in Heaven, because coming from your background and coming from my background, let's just take us to church.
It was crazy,
but you know, it was nice to be in a gray area together, because it was something we both didn't realize what faith-based movies were like and what we were trying to do. And it was, you know, forming a relationship. So it was, you know, it was, We're sort of being married by our parents and didn't know each other.
Oh my God, that's so well said. And I do agree. And it was the first time the three of us got to work together in one film, which I think was really special. It was like a family thing. It was so fun, you know, to do something that we're all uncomfortable doing, because
okay,
it was.
Okay, so then this movie took place in like what, 2015? Is that right?
Yeah, we shot. Yeah.
So then you guys met on the film Big Sur, right? That's like where you started. So was that before 90 Minutes in Heaven?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. 20,
like you guys were like hitting it off big. That was like the first film. Dude, can you please tell me about that?
Yeah, tell us about how you hooked up. I should have started there, but I get so fucking excited when Kate and Michael are on together. Okay.
Randall, I'm excited too. Let's just throw them all together. Michael and I met on a film called Big Sur in 2011. And it's, you know, Big Sur, the Jack Kerouac adaptation. So it was an intense movie for Michael to make, because it was like very cerebral and the adaptation of a great, you know, literary hero. And for me, the dialogue was quite tricky, because it was like, just like Kerouac, Michael adapted it with like no punctuation. It was all run on sentences. So he had the actors sort of decide where they would take their beats, how they wanted to set the pace for each character. So it was It was a little bit like Shakespearean like that. So I was pretty nervous. I was 28 years old. And like, literally, this is the absolute truth. Like, the first day we were filming was quite an intense scene. And I was probably very horrible the first day.
You've never been horrible.
My ass.
I'm serious. I was really nervous. So Michael lovingly calls it my fireworks, which means I was like, bloop, 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 like all over the place. And then he came in and adjusted me. And Law, you've worked with him, so you know that like quiet actor whisperer adjustment, you know,
of course.
That he does. And so he gave me that adjustment, and I think I gave him what he wanted, and it was more, Kate. But seriously, you guys, like, it was after that take, Michael looked at his first AD and said, "She doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to marry that girl."
Wait.
I have chills all over my body.
Time out. Hold on. Is that really Michael? Yeah. Confirm or deny this.
I saw her on set, and I've only known her for probably a minute at that point. Wow. She sat down at the table, and I'm sitting behind the camera as I'm not a real monitor person, so I'm behind the camera, and I go in there, and she does this take, and I go in there, and I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, "Don't say anything until you feel like saying it. This is video. This isn't film. We're not burning through anything. So if it takes you 10 minutes, 5 minutes, eat dinner, and then when it comes out of your mouth. And she sat there, and I said, "Let's go," and we action, and she gave a take, and I said to my AD, I said, "I'm going to marry that girl."
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
What an amazing moment. I love that story.
Now, it's different than ours, where you like to say we went to Bangtown. Do you see the romance of how they sell that story? Can you please try to sell the story like that in the future?
Most definitely. Now that I'm kid you not, I just got chills on my body.
Beautiful.
I will do that for sure.
Because we did have a romantic moment before you like to blab out the Bangtown part.
I know. I've heard your story. It's so romantic.
I love it. Kate is my girl. I have to say this. So Kate and I met when we were flying to Puerto Rico.
On what?
On Axis Sally.
On what, though, we were flying on?
On a PJ. He's so bougie.
I had a Legion of Water.
And I was so nervous because I knew I was playing opposite Al Pacino. Michael, you were directing. By the way, there's nobody that has made me feel more confident on a set than Michael fucking Polish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being dead serious.
I love that.
And I remember
that middle name should be my first name.
Right. Totally. I love it. And we were on the plane ride there. And Kate, you and I just completely hit it off. Like, you are my ride or die bitch. I love you so much.
I love you.
And you said to me, "Michael has a way with actors. You're going to be just fine." So you telling that story, minus the part of, you know, him saying he's going to marry you. I didn't have that experience, but But just the way he deals with actors, he babies them in their craft.
Well, let me say this as a producer who's now produced 3 movies as Michael's producer. There is a magic that Michael has. And Kate said this. You did say this to me, Kate, how he, like when Lalo's freaking out, "Oh my God, it's going to be Pacino, I'm nervous." You said, "Michael will handle you." And every set I've been on with Michael, there's never a problem. There's never been an actor, and I've been on a lot of movies where actors come to me and say, "This fucking director is clueless, or this director doesn't get it, or he doesn't understand." And every actor has the same kind of response. Like, they feel safe and they feel protected. And besides, Michael has an epic vision, but Michael, you do have that thing. By the way, I'll take it one step further. Even with producers, you handle me with grace and style, because you know me. I flip the fuck out when shit's going south, and I'm ready to assassinate. And Michael gets on the phone. And you get on the phone and you do this always to me with that voice. You go, "It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine." And then I'm like, "Okay, good. I'll hang up and I'm fine."
I go. The thing that I have, my greatest relationship with Randall is that is not advertised, is that he's in the miracle business, and people who make movies and try and make movies and have a really hard time don't realize the difficulty it is to make a movie. So when I'm granted one and me and Randall decide to do one together, it's a miracle. So you have to treat our relationship as, yes, there's going to be ups and downs. It's going to feel like a Disneyland ride every once in a while. It's going to be weird, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I agree with you. It's like you and I pushing a boulder that's 400 times the size of us up this hill. And every time we get it up to a section, it drops down 5 feet. And we have to, like, get back and do it again. And Michael, you handle your crew and your cast with such grace. And Kate, I do agree. He's got this thing, even as a producer, that you just know how to handle when the pressure just starts and you don't fall apart. You don't play into it. You're just like, what do we got to do to move forward? And
right.
and we do it. And that's why we've done three and we're going to do another one, because I told you I got another script for you.
Yeah.
I say to actors, you know, because everyone's always a little nervous the first day, regardless of how many movies you've done or who you're playing opposite. But I always say, Michael will not let you fail. Like, period.
That's
so true.
Coming from somebody like you, Kate, I want people to listen on this podcast. There are actors like Emil Hirsch, like Kate Bosworth, that are very high level respected actors in our industry. So when somebody says something like that, it comes from a place of like, I've been through the ringer on 50 movies. So for me to say that, it is, you know what I mean? And I've been through the ringer as a producer with directors. So it is a miracle when you get that relationship that really works.
So I have a question for you. How many movies have you guys done together?
Oh my God, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Five,
I think.
Five.
Yeah.
And what is that like? So you guys are married. Like, what is that relationship like when you are on set?
That's a great question, because you know, it's not like we're two teachers at MIT or something. You know?
Oh my God, that's funny.
That's so funny.
We come home in the same bed. But what's nice is that there's no competition, and I don't do what she does, and she doesn't do what I do. So we lean on each other, and I'm amazed when I'm watching her work, because it's the same with any actor. Same with Lala. When I watch Lala, I don't do what you guys are doing. The gift that you have been given is to present work and interpret stories and interpret dialogue that has been written, and it's magic for me to watch. So I watch it as a fan, and so I'm watching and respecting it. And so when I look at Kate, I'm watching it basically as a fan. And you know, it's directing. And Randall, you're now approaching this a lot. You're more of a coach than you are a dictator. You don't have to point your fingers, and you have to coach and tell everybody. In the system I work in, is you have 200 people, 150 people from different backgrounds to do exactly what they don't want to do. Your job is to get them to do it. And how are you going to get people to do what you want them to do when they don't really want to do it? You know, not everybody wants to be there.
I agree with you. And honestly, you know, I've produced 100 plus films, but directing, I've only got 5 days under my belt. So I don't have the experience you have, but I do. Yeah, we've had this conversation because you helped me and were a mentor to me when I was going through the pre-production process. It is a coaching. I found myself looking at the monitor in scenes, not even calling action, because I was so in the moment of watching the performances. Yeah, they'd be like, background ready, and then everybody's looking at me, and then Megan Fox was like, Randall, action? Are you going to call it? I was like, you do your job, I'll do mine.
Have you guys ever gotten into it on set?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd love to hear this.
One time.
Break it down.
Tell me.
Kate,
remember.
But actually, you know, I'll bounce off of what Michael said, which is like truly like the reason why it works so well is that we have so much admiration and respect for one another. Like, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that our relationship started as professionals, you know, regardless of, you know, I'm going to marry her within 5 minutes. It was like, we both truly on that movie, like, appreciated each other's work and the way that we worked so much that has never changed, regardless of sleeping in the same bed or not.
Yeah.
But the only time we got into it it was on Force of Nature.
Okay, wait, before we even go there, hold on. This is a movie, by the way, I want everybody listening, guys, this is a movie that we have coming out June 30th. I produced it with Emil Hirsch, Mel Gibson, Kate, and Michael directing. This movie is fucking awesome. Everybody,
yeah, it's so good.
Everybody must go see this movie. I am so proud to have done this with you guys.
We had Emil Hirsch a couple weeks ago, and he's so proud of this film, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Here's the thing. We had so much fun doing this thing. I mean, like, you guys, we were together, you know, in Puerto Rico. It was crazy, you know, and it was so fun. And like, I love the movie so much because it does just feel like one big action packed fun ride with like great character, awesome humor, just like nonstop action, you know? And like, it doesn't stop, like you're on a ride with this movie.
And by the way, you guys, the crazy thing that people don't know until they see the movie is it takes place in a storm, and you guys are soaked like with rain machines all day, 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
That's a perfect intro to the fight.
Okay. All right. Tell us.
It was literally like, I think it was like the second to last day. It was the second to last day of my schedule. And you don't think about hypothermia in somewhere like Puerto Rico with the temperatures, but because we were wet all the time and you know, we're similar, we're like tiny, tiny girls, you know?
Right.
Like, I just don't have a lot of body fat. So like, even though it's warm weather, if my body temperature lowers slightly throughout the day, I was getting this like crazy low grade hypothermia. And I think it was just like my physical, you know, capabilities were just depleted. And I just like looked at Michael and I think it was just that, right? It was physical. I took him out in the parking lot. I hit the wall. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, like, my goodness. I had no idea.
It's not a fight. It's not a fight. It was
like a bicker. It was like a moment.
I'm freezing. I can't even say my dialogue.
Was a moment of Kate hitting her breaking point, and yes, Michael had to toughen her up a bit. You got this.
Yeah. He looked at me and he was like, okay. And Randall, you know this. He's like, okay, what do you need? You know,
right? But
that's the gift he has, Kate. It's like, yeah, he just knows what to say when you want to fucking go to war. Like, you're looking at him and you're ready to scrap, and he goes,
"Yeah,
all right, what are we gonna do?"
Well, you know, it takes so much for me to get to that level. But it's like, for me to admit that I was physically breaking, like that's actually what pissed me off more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right? So like, you know, like it was that I was like, I have to say how like, you know, weak I'm feeling. And that was the thing that I like made me like so mad. And he just looked at me and he was like, okay, let's figure it out.
Oh, that's Michael. That is like, if anybody's listening, that is the greatest summary of who Michael is. He has this thing. It takes a lot for people to have it. Not everybody has it, but he has it. Like, he can just look at you. You want to scrap. And then all of a sudden you're putting your sword down because he just says the right thing. You're like, okay, I'm going to be more rational.
Of course. Yeah.
It's true.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to dig into literally everything about you guys. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back with Kate Bosworth and Michael Polish. We are back with Kate Bosworth, and this is Michael's idea for me to reintroduce him as Michael motherfucking Polish.
Yeah.
So now it has to be give the motherfucking law.
Yeah. Oh, we should change the name.
My sponsors would love that. My sponsors would be like, perfect. We love the new name. So let's really quickly back to Force of Nature. That is set to be released this year.
June 30th.
But you guys also have things that are going on, which, not that all of your films are not important, but I remember, Kate, you sent me this trailer for a film that you and Michael did called Nona, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is short for No Name, and it's about human trafficking.
Correct.
And tell me about how you guys made this film, you having a passion for getting human trafficking out there.
So thank you so much for supporting us, by the way,
because
it really is like, this is the most independent a film can possibly be made. So Michael had been at work one day in Los Angeles, and he drove home and he walked into the door and he said to me, you know, I just heard this story on the radio that was talking about a sex house that had just been busted with a bunch of young girls, you know, as the sex trafficking victims. And he said, you know,
where was this house that got the sex trafficking house that got busted?
On Western?
Yeah, below Western.
Just below Western.
Oh, it was in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, that's your reaction was exactly his reaction, which was, you know, we had no idea that this was happening so frequently, you know, right, you know, in our neighborhood,
right,
you know? And so he said, I'd like to dig into this a little more. And I think there might be, you know, a story to be told here. And he did. He really, you know, he went into the research quite deeply and came back to me and said, I'd like to write a screenplay that's a narrative story about one girl starting in Honduras.
Okay.
And essentially, you know, his idea was that, look, there's a lot of great documentaries on human trafficking and sex trafficking, but it's a tough subject, right? Because, you know, you bring it up and people are like, oh, I kind of know what it is, but like, it's so heavy.
It is. And people feel uncomfortable and people are very unaware that this is happening in our neighborhoods. They think it's something that's happening, you know, in other countries.
Right. No, exactly. And you know, it happens behind closed doors for a reason. It's sort of like when you kind of, you know, crack that door open, people are like, oof, that's such a monstrous thing that it's difficult to look at. But, you know, I do think that part of our responsibility as storytellers is to, you know, is to shine a light on things that are difficult to discuss sometimes. So though he was aware that it was going to be a kind of a tough subject matter to, you know, to approach. So he came up with the idea of starting with one girl and allowing the audience to get to know her in her, you know, hometown of San Pedro Sula, which is, you know, known as the murder capital of the world in Honduras. And you just meet her in her circumstances and start understanding the how and the why something like this can happen. And that when a young, cute guy who meets her in her town says, you have your dreams ahead of you. You shouldn't be living here. I have an aunt in America. I can get you to her and you'll have a life. You can live your dreams. You know, you can see how something like this happens with coyotes preying on the most vulnerable,
right?
You know, of humanity. So it was really about, I always say that Michael approached it with a sort of Trojan horse approach, and that you fall in love with her and you actually fall in love with the coyote because you don't know he's a coyote until about 70% of the movie.
Wow.
When you start realizing that something's a bit weird and then he ultimately sells her. So for about 70% of the movie, it's like this beautiful coming of age road trip movie. And you're kind of like, you're just on this ride. And of course the way Michael, you know, he shot it himself. He picked up a camera and you know, literally photographed the whole movie. While directing.
Wow.
And basically, you know, your heart breaks with hers as you realize that she's being sold into human trafficking. So it was a deliberate approach to the subject matter so that people could, most of the time they see the result. You hear the sex house has been busted or you.
Right. You don't see the journey of how it all
began. You don't
see
the journey. And I think that like once you understand the why and the how of something, you can start understanding the human being and that you ultimately create more empathy for the situation rather than just turning your back on something that's difficult to discuss, you know?
Right. And you and Michael funded this film on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Incredible.
Wow.
And where can people watch Nona?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on. It's been, to be honest, it's been a little bit, but it's on Apple TV.
Oh, it's on Apple.
Oh, it's on iTunes. Yeah, it's on iTunes and. I think it was on Stars for a while. Sorry, Lala. I should have had that.
No, that's okay. Can I tell you, this podcast is so like informal. Like it's not like I'm sitting up here like I'm working on CNN interviewing. The Dalai
I would
Lama.
Say the best place to try and find it is on iTunes right now. It's okay. Such a,
I have a question. Was that one of the most fun movies you've ever had because you guys funded it yourself? It was your baby, you know,
something you're
outsiders.
Passionate about.
And the message, was it like one of those moments, or you know, what was the experience like, you know, being everything on the film?
Well, you know, honestly, I had to stay in Los Angeles because I was a producer. I was producing the film and I was allocating the funds and greenlighting the funds while Michael was obviously directing and shooting the picture. So he was really focused on the creative of it. And,
oh, wow.
And because he was shooting in Honduras, all through Guatemala and then across Mexico. So like truly the most dangerous places in the world. And he had a crew of like four people. It was the actors and him. Yeah.
Wow. I'm very impressed. And I can't go on without acknowledging the fact that in 2018, people included you on the list of 25 women changing the world for your activism in the
amazing.
Area
Thanks.
Of human trafficking.
That's amazing.
That
That's
is amazing.
Shit. I want to get on people.
You know, it was a... Oh, man.
Start doing something.
Listen, Randall, Michael can write you a letter.
Michael, I need a reference letter for people, too. Thanks, buddy.
Got it.
But it was kind of a put your money where your mouth is moment. And Randall, you know that feeling, you know, but when you're really throwing down for something you care about and you know matters in the world, that's the feeling that's incredible. It's like understanding that, you know, with this piece of art, that there's the opportunity to affect lives.
But how empowering is that you stood up, didn't ask anybody else, just did it yourself. I mean, there's something very freeing about that. I love.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Because you're like, well, if I want this, then that's, you know, you don't have to ask anybody.
Right. You don't have to go, teacher, can I get that extra light that I want on Friday night? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, totally. And actually, because I had that experience as sort of like, quote unquote, the bank, I honestly felt as I started to produce more, like I had a better relationship with studios and producers because
you understood.
I was like, listen, I've done it. I know how it feels. I know how it feels to have someone ask you for this and you not wanting to do it, but sometimes having to, you know,
would you do it again?
I would.
Okay. That's really neat. Yeah. I love when actors or just people in front of the camera switch and produce, because like you said, there is an understanding, but also you come from being on a movie set since you were, who knows, 5 years old, and like, you know your way around. It's not a foreign thing for you to produce. It's just now you have all the control and integrity and all that stuff. So especially on something that you believe, you know, so fondly. And so I think that's awesome.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. So, thanks so much again for supporting it, Lala. I really appreciate that.
Dude, of course. I think it's a topic where I think most people were kind of introduced to it when they saw the film with Liam Neeson. It was like an action-packed movie, and you're like, oh my God, okay, we need to be careful. And again, like, you don't really see the nitty-gritty of it. You just see, like, it was an action-packed movie. And for me, when I saw that as a young kid, I was like, oh my God, human trafficking? Like, I had no idea that existed. So the fact that you're taking us through, like, how this really goes down is just amazing. Like, I really appreciate you bringing light to something. You know, you've done amazing films. You started, your breakout role was, it's still one of my most favorite movies, Blue Crush. And, you know, like, I love
that movie too. It's so funny, Lala, because people ask me, sometimes they get nervous, like embarrassed to say that. And I'm like, no, that movie is like, I always call it like one of my like artistic organs.
Okay. I love it.
It's like my heart, you know, because it's like, I cared so much about that movie. And I mean, it was a absolutely crazy, beautiful experience, but I'm so glad that people continued to be inspired by it. You know,
that was your like breakout role, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
And then I'm kind of a dummy. Was Blue Crush before, Tim, weigh in on this if you know, was that before Remember the Titans?
No, Remember the Titans was before.
It was before?
Yeah.
I was like 15 or 16 when I did Remember the Titans. I was 18.
Sorry. I'm a creative. No, I'm a cinematic genius, Lala. You just,
I know. I should have looked at you instead of Tim.
I am an aficionado.
But to watch like people like Kate, who they have all of these amazing moments. I just find it very inspiring when they take their platform to start doing things that really make a difference in this world.
Oh, thank you, honey. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. And let's just
pivot
onto even more incredible things that you're doing. You recently launched a new website called Kindest. Tell me about this.
Oh my God. First of all, before you say it, hold on. Sorry, what? I ruined that introduction, but I am such a dummy. I was like, what is kind.est? I'm a fucking idiot. I'm an idiot.
That's amazing.
I'm an idiot. I swear to God, Kate, I was trying to figure this out. Like, kind.established? Kindest. Because you're smart and creative, and I'm an idiot.
Well,
go
she
ahead.
Did get accepted to Princeton. Let's just, like, not
right,
forget
she's
that.
She's smart, and I went to film school. Keep right. going, Kate.
Okay.
No, actually, Randall, you're picking up on, like, what I was playing on, which is, so I was really fortunate to have parents that raised me to handwrite thank you letters. And at the time, I was like, oh, I just found it so painful to do when I was like 13, 14. But as I got older, you know, one of the reasons why I started to make a little bit of a mark with people, because I moved out to LA when I was 18 years old and had, like, knew no one, you know, so
right.
I would write thank you letters to like casting directors. And, you know, if a producer happened to meet me, I would write a thank you letter. And it just,
oh wow,
you know, I even suggest that to up and coming actors, like they ask like, what could they do? And I always say, you know, you can easily differentiate yourself with something as simple as that. You know what I mean?
That's
and like
very
just
smart.
Say thank you
very
for your time.
Smart.
I really appreciate you meeting me. And it's true. It's like everyone's busy, and you know, to just stop and say thank you will make a difference. But I always sign my letters Kindest Kate. And so the website itself came from my actual, like, you know, signature, but to play on the actual name of it, it's a place established kind. So to put the dot after the D is sort of a play on all of that.
Oh, I love that. So and
very sweet.
Go ahead, Lala. I don't want to interrupt
you. No, I want to know, like, why you decided to start this and launch this website. Like, what was the meaning behind all of it?
You know, I have been conceptualizing the space for a little over a year. My grandmother passed away a little over a year ago, and she's the most important person in my life. And it was just a really heavy loss. And when I, certainly the biggest loss I've had as an adult. And I just found it really difficult to process it in today's world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is, you have this heartbreak or this gaping loss, and yet, you know, you have emails to answer, and, you know, someone wants you to look at something on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, life doesn't stop.
Life doesn't stop. And yet, it was a real kind of disconnect for me. And I thought, if I could create a space that I can communicate a little deeper, lean into the vulnerability, expose myself a little more, talk about things that are interesting, talk about things that are a little difficult to talk about, but all through the lens of kindness and love. Not in a big, some cheesy way, but really just saying, hey, like, let's look at this side of the coin. It helped me it helped me move through that time in my life, understanding that I was going to create something from it. And I was really nervous to do it, to be honest.
Really?
I was nervous to do it because people might know me as, you know, I mean, you guys know me really well, but I think, you know, you're exposed. I'm exposed as an actress. I'm exposed as someone of notoriety, but,
like putting yourself out there.
Yeah. This is Kate, the human. And, these are things that are tough things to talk about, or, you know,
But you're right, Kate, because you know what? You're known as Kate, glamorous movie star, fashionista,
right,
whatever.
Like going to the Met Gala, right, starring in epic films.
But it is brave of you to put something out like that, because I think today, with what's going on in the world, it's more relevant than ever right now. And I think it's very cool when people like yourself, who don't have to do this, like, you literally could sit home, take the phone call, show up on the movies, you know, do your thing, do what you do, you know, what people know you as. But when you pivot and do something completely out of the wheelhouse, and for people, you're doing it to send a message and bring people together, it is brave. And I think that's very commendable. It's a big deal, because you're doing that out of your passion. You're not doing it because somebody told you this is what you're supposed to do. And I think that's very brave.
It is.
Thank you so much. And you're right, Randall. It is. It's a real passion project, you know, labor of love. It's literally myself. I write every word. The design is, everything is, you know, decided by me. There's no big like production team. It's myself and like two girlfriends who are so amazing to help me with this, you know, but it really is. It's, when I said in my founder's letter, this is a handmade destination, I really mean it, you know?
Wow. I love that. I love that. And I love that. It's like you're not fucking busy enough already, and then you throw this new company in. It's like you really are on a kamikaze mission. But I think it's amazing, because I think that, you know, you're always creating. I know you for that. I know you're always trying to be, you know, on the front lines and groundbreaking in roles you choose and things you do. And I've always been mad respect from 18 years ago. And even when we just worked together recently on this movie, it's always, you're always evolving. I've never hung out with you or you and Michael, where it's like kind of the same. It's always different. It's always unique. And we also, you always have such a great attitude towards everything. Really is very positive. Yeah.
We feel the same. We feel the same about you guys.
Randall, if there's not laughter between us, I don't know what there is. I mean, if we can go months and I can walk into your office and we just start laughing.
And it's like yesterday. It's like yesterday for all of us. That's what I love. Like, even when we traveled to Puerto Rico, hanging out together for the, you know, it's like it was yesterday on Wonderland or 90 Minutes in Heaven.
That's a true friendship where you can pick up where you left off.
Because everybody gets busy. Everybody's got family and this and work and blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's like when you could pick up where you left off and it's the same, that's where you know the friendship.
And we're very comfortable with our job. We know our roles. We stay in our lane.
Exactly.
So when we laugh, it's really about friendship. It's, you know, I remember sitting in Al Pacino's living room with you.
Oh, no,
just
big
me,
deal.
You and Al.
No big deal.
Take a beat.
I just dropped that.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I was there. Hold on. I just want to say, we were in Al Pacino's living room. Michael.
Yes, you were.
And by the way,
that is badass.
I want to just set the tone, and then Michael, I want you to finish. We walked in. There was no air conditioning on. You know that, right, Michael? Remember, it was 100 degrees. And we sat, and I thought it was going to be like a 30-minute little coffee meeting that we had to catch up on some notes on the movie. How many hours were we there?
Oh my god! We were into a couple digits
easily. And, we were there a long time.
What's amazing is how fun those moments to me are, and they're not stressful moments. It's a guy sitting at a table and sitting in his couch and go, yeah, we are with Al Pacino, but how easy we flatten that and make it between friends, and you know, it's creative. And we were talking to Al about money and making money, and because he's had some financial things where he made a lot of money one time, he didn't make a lot of money at certain times. And Randall, you said, you know, living on a budget and looking at budget, and you both agree. He goes like, don't live on a budget, just make more money.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. That's amazing. I'm going to have that outlook from now on.
But you know what's great is, great, then I'm fucked. Okay.
You're fucked.
But I will say, you know, Michael, it is always that way. And even sitting in a room with the giant of Al Pacino, it does feel like friends hanging out, trying to create and fix things, like when we're working on the movie and trying to make edits better and stuff. And I will say that's why I texted you the other day. I said I have another script for you, because I feel like if we're not doing a movie every year together, and Kate and all of us, or every year and a half, then we're screwing ourselves, because it is fun to create with family that you trust. And
yeah.
And everybody does their job really friggin' well.
Can you guys please put Kate and I in a movie together? I will audition for this shit. I don't give a damn. Make it happen.
Dude. Thelma and Louise, man, I'm all in with you.
I'm
you know that.
So in. Kate, we got to get it popping, man.
We're announcing it right now.
Oh.
On your podcast.
Oh my God.
This will be everywhere in the trade. So it'll be like Lala and Kate secure the sequel rights to Thelma and Louise, Michael directing, Randall producing. Boom.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's the headline. But actually, you know, Randall, it's true, because like Michael and I were actually looking at each other yesterday, and he was like talking about something he was doing, and he was like, oh, we should get Lala in it. And like, Randall should be part of this. And it's like, I think that's like my favorite thing about filmmaking. Like, when you can identify people that you love and trust, like, to get it done and also have like the best time, like, right. Why would you do it with anyone else?
I agree. And I, anything you guys have, I always say, bring it to me, because I love working with both of you.
Yeah.
And Lala and I, you know, I have a script I'm going to send you. Hopefully today, but like, let's put it together, because the world is so crazy that the appreciation now I have for friendships like this, and Lala and I were talking about this. It's like, I cherish them tenfold,
of course.
Yeah. Hey, Lala.
Yes, baby.
Hey, I just wanted to say one thing, because your name comes first on this title. So it's great.
I love that.
Yeah. I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, you know, that's what I mean. I mean, Randall, me and you are the best second place players there are.
Best ever. You know? Best ever.
You guys are
second
so
place is
sweet.
Rad.
Yeah, second place, by the way, second place to our women is first.
The way
We're
you
winning.
Both
We're
support
winning.
Yeah. your yeah. chicks is like super hot. I'm just going to say that.
I remember two vivid things, other than carrying a football and throwing football with you.
With Al Pacino.
And Al Pacino. Is her walking around with a Whopper.
Yeah.
With a Whopper.
Yep.
She's walking with a Whopper, and I just said, God, it's like, that's the way. I met Kate at a bar once, and she was eating a hamburger, and she split it in half for me. I'm like, that's the girl we're eating the Whopper.
Oh, see that's this, babe? Do you hear the story? Can we reach? Hey, let's just try 1 second. I want to hear your romantic side to Kate and Michael. Michael's asking you, was it love at first sight when we went to dinner that night at Tao? Can you do it in a different way? Try. Action.
I touched his leg under the table, and then we made eye contact, and we knew right then that it was like love at first sight.
Okay,
baby.
Period. Don't say anything else.
I know.
Else.
I'm going to stop.
Perfect. Oh, you know what's
because
what's
you know
amazing?
What, Michael, you know what follows that? We went to Bang Town all night first night.
You know what? One thing about getting butterflies, you know, when you first meet somebody and you get butterflies, is that the butterfly looks in the mirror and says, fuck, there's no going back.
Oh!
Michael, you're full of great things today.
Michael.
You should write like a little coffee table book full of sweet things.
That is so good. I would have dated
you. Gets out of the cocoon and goes, fuck.
That's exactly what it is.
And goes, fuck, I was so cozy for such a long time.
I know, and then you feel uncomfortable, and then you're getting married and having, you know, you have step babies. It's like amazing.
How long have you guys now been together? How many years?
Almost 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, we're sitting on a dime, but I was going to ask Lala.
Sitting on a dime.
I was going to ask Lala. I remember when she had to go up and we were expanding the scene between her and Al, and we were talking about it, and I said, just fucking give it to him. Just give it to him.
Oh, this is
big. He was so sweet because she was like, yeah, I will. And I go, that's what it takes, because it's not about intimidation. It's about having confidence.
Yep.
Right.
And that's what I saw. I said, just do it again. And we did it again. And we kept doing it just to see what it would be like. And he was game for it.
I got to tell you, I people haven't seen the movie yet, but there is a scene that Michael's referring to where they approach the stand with the judge and their lawyers and legal aides or whatever. And Al Pacino's this tough, based on a true story, really tough, hard fighting lawyer. And Lala questions him and gets in his face and whips the scene. And it's so epic. And I couldn't believe it, Michael, when I saw it and you showed it to me. I was like, that's my Lala? What is going on?
Michael Polish single-handedly helped me get to a place where when the scene was over, Al Pacino said to me, you're really good. And I was like, thank you so much. And he goes, no, you are really good. And I looked at Michael and I was like,
best day of your life.
Michael got me there.
Best day of your life.
For real. It was the best day of my life.
After meeting me, best day of your life.
100%.
I want to say one other thing. That I remember that night because you came home and we were at the hotel and you came home and said that you're like the high you were on. You just said what Michael did for me today and that performance was life changing. And I hadn't seen it yet.
The closest I'll get to doing a drug ever in my life. I guess.
I'm proud of you.
Before we let you guys go slay the day, I want to know what your most favorite thing to do in quarantine is together. besides going to Bangtown.
Yeah, besides. There we go again.
Besides going to Bangtown.
Back to Bangtown.
Eating.
You know, going to Bangtown, but I mean, it's always about Bangtown, isn't it?
Yeah, eating
I
goes
mean, it's the mayor. It's like running for mayor of Bangtown. You have to run for mayor.
Lala, you see my Instagram. Like Michael is an incredible baker.
I see the bread
and my mouth waters every time.
The bread, yeah. The pies. It's crazy over there.
And the only person that only comments on my baking is your freaking mom.
Oh my god!
Are you serious,
Leslie?
She
Emmett.
DMs. She goes, Leslie. Why? What are you doing baking that? Why am I? She goes, why bake it? Just go buy it.
That's my mom.
She's so
That's the
gangster.
Jewish mother. The Jewish mother.
That is hilarious.
Oh my God. Well, Michael, I didn't even know you guys had a little Instagram dialogue, my mother. This is huge.
Oh no, we've had it for about, oh well, it's not a year yet, but when there's food, she always comments like a mom. She always comments like a mom. She said, and you're eating that? How do you stay so thin?
Yeah, that's her number one thing right now, because she'll call me and she'll be like, I've gained so much weight. I will not be able to fit in my dress, Lala.
Oh, my mom's going to hear this. She's going to fucking.
No,
oh.
I freaking die for Leslie Emmett.
Yeah, we're on great terms until this.
Yeah, right.
By the way, you guys were besties. And by the way, you'll be on great terms again because the next movie, you know, Leslie Emmett makes her cameo. So she'll always kiss your ass because you're a director. And for me, she wants to tell me how many lines she has to have in my movie. I said, Mom, you're the fucking talent. Okay. Yes. I'll tell you how many lines you have in this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't even think I still have it, but I filmed your mom talking about you because I wanted to send it to you one day. I said, Randall was an actor and he could act and he was so good at acting.
Oh God.
And she just went down the list and And this is the only time I sent it to you. And this is the only time you ever, never responded to me.
Oh, you have to resend it to me. I need to see it.
No, oh, it was great because I go, of course you're not going to respond to me. That's your mom saying that.
Wait, did his mom say he was a bad actor?
You're going to go there
No,
again?
He was a great actor.
Great.
Lies. Lala, she lies.
Lala, I was a... Okay, I'm going to tell you right now.
You're a thespian. I get it.
Don't do this. We're not doing this today. I'm telling you right now, and I'm looking you in the eye right now. Look at me.
I
was
a
fucking great actor when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I was not the best actor, but I was good.
Okay.
But I didn't like it. And I decided that my obsession was always movies. And I chose to pivot out of acting.
Okay.
And I think it was for the betterment of the world because people like you, Kate, and every other actor out there, I give mad respect. Like Michael, I'm very much like Michael. I could never do it at the level you guys do it at. I give you mad props. It's a gift. It's a talent that you have to work on and a skill. And as a kid, I think it was just fun and I was good at it as a kid. but it definitely was not my calling. And when I walked onto my first movie set at 19 years old,
I knew that's
the last thing I'm going to do is be an actor. So I saved the world. I saved the world from it.
Yeah, but I really, really want you to be in front of the camera for one of my, I can see what you can do. It'd be awesome for you just to go fucking off. I mean,
oh my God, Michael,
it wouldn't be great. You know, we can push him to the level.
Oh my God. Okay, Michael, I'll make a deal with you.
Yeah.
If on the next movie that we do together, if there's a role that's easy and we have at least four shots of Johnny Walker Blue, I will try one or two lines. That's as far as I go.
I just want you to kick
you
somebody
just want
in
me
the
to go
face.
Crazy.
I just want you to kick somebody in the face or something.
Okay.
And get
I could be like a karate kid. Wax
just get
on,
real like put somebody's face in gravel or something. You know?
Hey, you
it's
right.
Real visual. If Why you, is he a real visual?
I can tell. Look at this director at work right now.
I know. Do you see how good he is? You know how many people have asked me because, you know, obviously I have a larger than life personality. They think that translates to acting, which it doesn't. But so I always say no because I have respect for people that really can act. But Michael just manipulated me into saying yes. That's how good he fucking is.
That's how good he is.
That's amazing. Well, I love that the headlines from this are going to be Randall Emmett is now a movie star.
Oh, God.
Kate and Lala are embarking on Thelma and Louise too.
Let them talk.
Headline.
Let them talk, baby.
That'll
and
be the
you guys have to promise that when we, when everything's back to normal, that you will come over or we'll come to you and you bake us something super yummy.
Oh my God. Anytime. As soon as we can be in each other's arms again, I have to say, Lala, because you and I met more recently than I've known Randall, and I've known and loved Randall for a long time. But I have to say to everyone listening that the moment that I met you on that plane, you know, it was less than 5 minutes that I
was
knew that you'd be my ride or die.
Oh no,
ride
you guys
or die.
You guys, I don't know what with the girl version, but you know how we say it's a bromance, it's whatever that is. Because I was back there and I said, "Oh, this is Lala," and you're like, "I know." And within 6 minutes, I was kicked out of where you two were sitting.
Yeah, it was officially girl time.
Yeah, it was Michael and I in the other part of the plane. And
no,
it was,
just you. Michael was in Puerto Rico filming.
Oh, it was just me?
Oh, it was just you.
He was already doing the movie.
He was already doing the movie.
Okay, then I was with my assistant probably talking about something because you didn't give
making
me any,
the movie.
Probably making the movie.
It was 5.5 hours of basically isolation. I was isolated,
dude. This
but
is epic.
I love you both, you know, honestly. You're like, I love that you're just, you're real as real can be, you're ride or die, you're like, you're we're the same, you know.
Yeah.
I love that about this group.
I love this group too.
And I'm so grateful that you guys joined us today on our podcast. This is probably my new favorite podcast that I've done.
I agree.
So
I
effortless agree.
You know, When it becomes second place, we'd love that too.
If we get Obama on, you'll go to second place. But until then, you're first place.
Exactly.
All right, we love you guys.
All right, we hope to see you
Thanks
soon.
For having us.
Love you. Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Just wanted to say I love you guys. Thanks for keeping all of us so entertained. Really appreciate it and love you guys. You guys are great together. And thank you, Randall, for finally coming on the show. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you so much, my loves. To everyone who has already called in to leave us messages, please keep them coming because we love hearing from you. Call us anytime at 866-LALA-POD. That is 866-LALA-POD. I mother effing love you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.